Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Hey, if you're like me, you can't imagine life without three things: God, guitars, and Bob Inyart Live. And while my God will always be there for me, and my guitar is paid for, keeping Bob Inyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time. September is Bob's telethon month, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to consistently book A-list interviews and promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. And with each new monthly subscription for the telethon or a donation of $50 or more, you will receive Bob's newest DVD, How to Be a Christian Family, as a free gift. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
One morning, there's truth of ahead. It gets beyond service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in Your Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Some news we need to get to, a little bit of science news. Also, our telethon, we're up to $4,150. Thank you, all of you who've given. We're on one radio station. I know there are a lot of Christian and conservative shows that are on hundreds or even over 1,000 radio stations. But here at Bob Inyart Live, we are on one station, one. And this is the show to enjoy. So our telethon, 1-800-8-ENYART. 836-9278, 1-800-836-9278, or our website, kgov, kgov.com. Now, Bill Maher was on the air with Bill Nye, the science guy. They were mocking creationists, of course, and they said that we believe in a flat earth, right? And that the myth of the flat earth has been fully documented by a historian, a professor of history from Berkeley. Just go to our website, kgov.com/flat earth. I think that'll get you there. Will that get somebody there? kgov.com/flat earth. I'm trying it right now. And you'll find out about the myth. Yeah, Flat Earth Society. There is a Flat Earth Society. There is. And the president of the Flat Earth Society, his name is Daniel Shenton. He's an evolutionist. He's not a creationist, which makes sense, right? Doesn't that make sense? And the University of California history professor, Jeffrey Russell, has at Santa Barbara. I said Berkeley, Santa Barbara. He has written a book, The Inventing the Flat Earth, and on the myth of the flat earth. And there was never a time when the church, creationist, Christians taught that the earth was flat. That's a fabrication that is repeated ad nauseum by those who don't mind misrepresenting the truth, misrepresenting history, and lying in order to try to win an argument. And if you reject God, right, God is the one who said, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. God is the one who said, do not kill the innocent, as in unborn children. Right? So that's Bill Maher and Bill Nye, the science guy. And by the way, I mentioned that in with our telethon because I was on Bill Maher's show, Politically Incorrect, well, I don't know, a handful of times, four times, five times. And if you donate to our telethon, we have this month, as you heard Doug McBurney say at the opening, we have How to Be a Christian Family, a DVD series that will give you as a gift if you subscribe to one of our monthly offerings or make a donation to the telethon. But let me give you a choice, and it'll drive our staff here crazy. But you could ask for instead Bob Debates the Stars, because we have on a single DVD, we have, I was on with Jimmy Kimmel and Cisco and Martin Short, Donny Osmond, Larry Flint, Judd Nelson, and a bunch of others. So you could ask for that as a gift instead. We'll be happy to send you that. Now, also, one of our, let's see, this is, I can't give all the details because it's a job opening. There's a job opening, and I can't give the details on the radio, but there is a job opening. There is a museum of natural science opening up, and the vice president of human resources is a listener to Real Science Radio. And he contacted me today and said, Bob, we're a private business, about 1,000 employees or so, and we're opening a natural science museum with a Christian perspective. Isn't that exciting? A natural science museum opening up in a beautiful downtown area of a thriving city. And it is the theme will be God's wonders. God's wonders, and they're looking for a staff scientist, a scientist curator. And so if you are a listener to Real Science Radio and you think you might be qualified with a degree in one of the physical sciences, let us know and we'll put you in touch with their VP of Human Resources. So that's exciting to hear. Also, the president of so I said I had a few science items. This is the third one. And, you know, for years we have been offering a seminar on the Bible called The Tree. It is so interesting to me. The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. Whatever happened to the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil? Remember, God created the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and there were two trees in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, and then the other tree that if you eat of it, you'll die. And so the tree of life we read about in the Bible, it ends up in heaven. That's exciting. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, whatever happened to that tree? Well, you know, there's an entire chapter of the Bible that talks about that tree. And we say it's an obscure chapter of the Bible because radio, Christian radio Bible teachers, that they don't talk about that chapter. Pastors don't reference it in their sermons. You don't see verses from it on plaques at Christian bookstores. And unless somebody is teaching through the book of Ezekiel verse by verse, it's never mentioned. It's an obscure chapter. And it's the chapter that we base our seminar on called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in this study, it's also in a book, my life's work is called The Plot, an overview of the Bible. And many of our Bible studies are based on getting an overview of a book. Like we have a brand new study, DVD and audio, of the Gospel of Mark. So we get an overview of the book, an overview of the chapter, and so on. So we have an overview of the Bible called the plot, the story, the plot of the Bible. When you get the story, then the details make a lot more sense than if you're trying to study, let's say, doctrinal details, but you don't have a good grasp of the overview of the whole Bible. You dig into the details, you get confused. But no surprise, right? Imagine if you didn't first get an overview of some area of study in school, whether it was algebra or, you know, Renaissance history or whatever. If you just dig into a detail, you're going to be confused. And so we do the plot of the Bible, an overview of the whole Bible, and one chapter in the plot is on the tree, and we have a seminar called The Tree. And in that seminar, we have taught something for 20 years now that I've never had any scientific corroboration of at all until last Friday night, because the president of ICR, the Institute for Creation Research, the president is John Morris. His father, Henry Morris, is, well, he's basically the founder of the modern creation movement, Henry Morris. He co-authored the book, The Genesis Flood, and he founded ICR, and he's just an extraordinary person. And so his son, who's now the president, is speaking at Friday night at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship here in Denver. A great group. We had a wonderful time. People were getting personhood signatures. It was a good night. And he said something that just I was thrilled to hear, because for 20 years we've been teaching from the Bible, which means it's true, but it's fun to have corroboration so other people could see, oh, wow, isn't that something? We have been teaching that before the global flood, that there was a drought. There was a significant, likely worldwide drought before the global flood. And we get that from this obscure chapter in the Bible from which we do our seminar, The Tree. And we get that it was a drought because the Bible says that it was a drought. And people were angry at God because of the drought. And so God said, you want water? I'll give you water. And their thirst was quenched in the deep. So, hey, God gets angry at those who will kill the innocent. And the earth was filled with violence, remember. And those who are perverse and filthy and hateful and spiteful. And God, either he lets them destroy everyone's life, or occasionally he segregates them and punishes them. And he'll do that eternally. Those who don't want to live with God, they won't have to. They'll get to live forever without God, which is what they want. And those who want to live with the Lord, who humble themselves and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them, accept his payment of the penalty for their sin that he paid on the cross with his life and his blood, then they will be reconciled to God. They are reconciled. They'll live forever with God. So it's pretty neat. But God judges those who hate him, those who don't want him. And so anyway, we have this tree seminar where we teach that there was a drought before the global flood because the Bible says there was a drought. And so John Morris, speaking Friday night in Denver, he said, you know, there's an uncanny thing when we look at petrified wood, petrified tree stumps. You need the whole stump, like the whole trunk of the tree. And you cut it so horizontally, so you have a cross section now. You could see all the rings. And he said, you get these things from around the world, you know, wherever petrified wood is found, which is not everywhere, but there are locations. And in various flood deposited strata. And he said a lot of these trees, these cross section of petrified wood, you can make out the rings. In others, you just can't because of the conditions of it petrifying or whatever. You can't make out the rings, but in many you can. And he said when you have an entire tree and they're petrified and you can make out the rings, there's an amazing pattern, a consistency, whereas all the rings, and typically they're annual rings, and they're, he said, you could tell they're healthy. There's plenty of water. There's no problems. You know what causes the dark part of the ring, right? The dark part of each ring that separates one ring from another, it's the identical kind of cell, the plant cells. There's no difference, except that they're just thinner. So the cell wall, plants have cell walls, right? Animals have cell membranes. So the cell walls are closer together, and so that's what gives them the darker color. And so typically there are growing seasons. And so every year when things are working normally, you get one ring per year. Now, you could get two rings per year or even more, we know from experiments, right? Tree rings and dendrochronology. So you do get more than one ring per year in certain circumstances. But generally, one ring per year. But Dr. Morris said what was amazing is that there's this general trend where the last seven rings, which we might think might be the last 7 years, show distress. They show drought because they're not nice, healthy rings like all the others. And I find that fascinating because that is consistent with what the scriptures teach, that before the flood. So Dr. Morris said, now, presumably these trees were growing when the flood happened and they were destroyed catastrophically, just like the trees, the petrified trees in Yellowstone. This morning I got an email from a national park ranger, one of the national parks ranger, who helped us some years ago remove a sign at Yellowstone. Because at Yellowstone, by their petrified trees, I've been there a number of times, they had a sign and it said, well, there's like 20 layers on this one big area of Yellowstone, like this one hillside area. And they said, and in almost every layer, there are a few stumps of trees, of petrified trees. It's sort of uncanny, right? On one, like, why would that happen on one hillside in the whole world? There it is. And they said what happened is the trees are growing, and then for whatever reason, that forest is destroyed by fire or whatever, but a couple trees remain standing. And then over thousands of years, there's new layer of topsoil, and a new forest begins to grow. And that one gets wiped out, and a few trees remain, and then and one by one, layer by layer, 20 times over, repeatedly in sequence, this happens. And they always leave a couple petrified trees, just like as a reminder that we were there. And so it turns out that that story is not true. It's a story. And geologists are not like mechanical engineers. You know, mechanical engineers, they need an energy budget. They need to show that their proposals will actually work. Astronomers, cosmologists, geologists, they don't do that. They tell stories. It's storytelling. So they told the story at Yellowstone. It was on one of those exhibit panels. And it turns out that none of those trees that were standing, none of them had root systems. They didn't grow there in place. There was something like a volcano, a catastrophe that knocked over, like when Mount St. Helens blew, and it knocked over hundreds of thousands of trees within seconds. And you have a couple hundred thousand trees floating in Spirit Lake. And then a now world famous geologist, Stephen Austin, who was then with ICR, the Institute for Creation Research, working for Henry Morris, he goes there because he says, hey, this is a perfect laboratory to see what happens after a catastrophe, and it might support my floating log map model of coal deposits. So he goes there and he gets some scuba gear and he takes photos beneath the surface of Spirit Lake, and he shows all these upright floaters, these trees that as they get waterlogged, they float upright and they sink into the sediment at the bottom of the lake. And as additional debris comes out of the mouth of the volcano, more and more layers of sediment get deposited and the trees get buried. And that's how the trees at Yellowstone were buried. It was not a succession of 23 forests that grew up and you know, went the way of the aged, and then a new forest, a baby little forest grew up, and then it got old and went on Social Security. Social Security failed. Then the whole forest was, you know, destroyed and left a couple little remnants. And then it happened again. And like it happened 23 times in a row on one hillside. Are you guys crazy? Are you just lunatics or what? So this morning I got an email from this a national park ranger who helped us get the sign taken down at Yellowstone. They took the sign down because it was false. And we had the scientific research of Dr. Stephen Austin, who's been on the show. In fact, we sell his DVD, Mount St. Helens. If you haven't seen that DVD, you're crazy. I mean, that is a good, Wally's giving me a thumb up. That is a good DVD. And we have it at kgov.com. Just click on our store, go into the science department. Just browse the department. You'll enjoy it. So anyway, isn't it cool to have been teaching for 20 years the tree seminar, which is also a chapter in our book, The Plot, An Overview of the Bible, and to say that the Bible teaches that before the global flood, there was a drought, a severe drought. And then to have Dr. John Morris, who's never, he's never put two and two together. It's an obscure chapter in the Bible. Obscure. So 99% of all Christians who study the Bible don't know anything about this chapter. It's our own little secret. Just you and me here at Bob and Your Live, it's our own chapter. Nobody else has it. It's just ours. It's in everybody's Bible, you know, but as people are turning the pages of their Bible, it's like they get this Jedi mind thing. This is not the page you're looking for. This is not the chapter you're looking for. And they just turn right over to the next chapter. And they don't realize that this chapter of the Bible is about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the Garden of Eden and the moments before, the days before the global flood. And so we offer that. And by the way, for those who are interested in the Bible topics we talk about here at Bob and Yurt Live, if you subscribe to our Bible studies, you get one a month. And that's a good rate, one a month. All right, you get either DVDs or CDs, whatever you prefer, an MP3 CD where you could get a whole seminar on one disc, or you could download a lot of the stuff from our website, kgov.com. And so you could listen to this tree seminar. And you know what? I love the DVD version of this. I just love the artwork on the label of the DVD. Just like we have that great artwork for our predestination and free will seminar and debates. I just love the artwork on the tree. You should check that out. I think you'll love that too. All right. So. And also, by the way, we also have the whole NYART library. And that would be, what a time to get the NYART library, because it's our telethon. We're up to $4,150, which is a lot of money. Thank you so much for those who have given. But our goal is $35,000. So we need $850 just to get up to the first $5,000. So we really need your help. I mean, do we have a big foundation behind us that gives us an annual grant or something? We don't? Why not? Somebody get on that, please. We don't have a large foundation behind us. We don't have advertisers. You know, when you warn people that homosexuality is perverse, then it's hard to get advertisers. It's just even Christian ones. They're hesitant. Who was it that just said that? Oh, it was Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking just said, hey, we don't let animals suffer. So when people are sick or, you know, let's say they're like quadriplegics or something, maybe we should put them down, you know, get their permission first. But we should euthanize them. Does he know what he's saying? Does he realize? Is he like, does he have Alzheimer's or something? We couldn't know, you know, if his... If his handler just wanted to take over, how would we know? So Stephen Hawking was saying, look, we put down animals when they're suffering. And this is where atheists, this is where they get their morality from animals, right? It's just like, you know, animals eat one another. That's what animals do. They eat one another while they're still alive. They eat one another while they're alive. Right? Fish, bears, whatever. Coyotes, wolves. And, you know, homosexuals, that's the argument they make. In fact, it's the hardest argument to refute. Homosexuals say, hey, animals do it. And so we behave like pigs and dogs. And it's really hard to refute that they behave like pigs and dogs. It's like, okay, you guys are saying you behave like pigs and dogs. I say, well, I have to agree with that. You do. But animals will eat their own young. They eat other animals when they're alive. We put down an animal that's suffering because the animal is not made in God's image and likeness, and it's okay to kill an animal and to eat it. I wonder if Stephen Hawking eats his, doesn't he have a daughter or something? Does he? From a long time ago? He's had a wife, right? Does he have a wife? I don't know his personal life. I wonder if he's ever eaten any of his staff members. So they say, well, hey, we do this to animals, so why can't we do it to people? You realize there's no bottom to that abyss? You realize that? In the whole animal rights movement, it's not that they love animals, it's that they hate people. And they hate God. That's the motivation for the animal rights people. You don't really elevate animal rights, you just denigrate human rights. The whole animal rights movement practically is pro-abortion, right? They're against killing insects, many of them, but they advocate killing unborn children, little boys and girls. They won't let you kill a fetal pig, but they'll give you money to kill a little boy or a girl in the womb because they hate God, and so they're evil. So these are the things that we notice in the news and the things that, as Christians, we're able to discern. And we have so I mentioned we have our NYART library of everything, all our DVDs, all our audio, and even some of our books, all in one shipment. Well, it might take a couple boxes. Or you could get just the audio, all the NYART audio library. I think that's $9.99, right? Almost $1,000. Or the NYART video library. I think that's $1,000. Or you could get the whole thing. And boy, wouldn't that help the telethon? So one last thing we have, I think you'd love it, an MP3, Christianity 101. I got to tell you about this. Wally's saying he enjoyed it. It's really fun. An 8-session series, Christianity 101. I think you'll absolutely love it. Hey, we're out of time. Go to our website, kgov.com. Help out. God bless you.